From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his series of studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called A Threefold Cord That Satan Couldn't Break. The children of Israel had fallen away from God following the death of Shamgar, the third judge. Consequently, God gave them into bondage to Jabin, the king of Canaan. In their misery, they cried to the Lord for deliverance, and in His mercy, God raised up three individuals, Deborah, Barak, and Jael, to battle against Sisera, Jabin's captain. Deborah provides us with an example of how a child of God should live as she filled the roles of wife, mother, and judge. Then there was Barak, a brave warrior, but reluctant to go alone into the battle. Nevertheless, with Deborah's encouragement, he went to war in spite of the overwhelming odds, and God gave a mighty victory. The third strand in this unbreakable cord was Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. This nomadic woman served the God of Israel in her tent as she slew Sisera, Jabin's powerful captain. What lessons there are here for every believer to serve God in his or her sphere. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Leadership of Our Guide. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Truth is like a vast cavern into which we desire to enter, but we are not able to traverse it alone. At the entrance it is clear and bright, but if we would go further and explore its innermost recesses, we must have a guide, or we shall lose ourselves. The Holy Spirit, who knows all truth perfectly, is the appointed guide of all true believers, and He conducts them as they are able to bear it, from one inner chamber to another, so that they behold the deep things of God, and His secret is made plain to them. What a promise is this for the humbly inquiring mind! We desire to know the truth and to enter into it. We are conscious of our own aptness to err, and we feel the urgent need of a guide. We rejoice that the Holy Spirit is come and abides among us. He condescends to act as a guide to us, and we gladly accept His leadership. All truth we would gladly learn, that we may not be one-sided and out of balance. We would not be willingly ignorant of any part of revelation, lest thereby we should miss blessing or incur sin. The Spirit of God has come that He may guide us into all truth. Let us with obedient hearts hearken to His words and follow His lead.
Lord, appointed Him with me.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Is in his control. And when Barak went with 10,000 men against a mighty multitude of an enemy, God gave him the victory. And it's wonderful how he did it. We read that the enemy had 900 chariots of iron. When Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote of this period, he said that the enemy had 3,000 chariots. May be that there's no contradiction. If there is, it's Josephus who's wrong. But it may be there's no contradiction at all. The scripture is saying there were 900 chariots of iron. There may well have been 3,000 in total of all kinds. There was a mighty multitude of men. The finest fighting force in the area. They had the latest implements. These chariots of iron. Can you imagine being a poor, puny little foot soldier with that thundering chariot coming down upon you? Can you imagine being told to hold ranks while 900 chariots of iron were about to burst forth upon you? But notice what the Lord did. Chapter 5, verse 20 to 22. The Lord turned the enemy's greatest strength into his greatest weakness. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. It appears that there were some cataclysmic events in the heavens. It appears that the enemy chose the ground that was best for his chariots. The Lord had already told his people to get to Mount Tabor. It appears that as the Lord began to move, there was a mighty flood. The Kishon burst its banks. The area was turned into a quagmire. Those mighty implements of strength became a hindrance rather than a help. And as the horses were prancing, they broke their chariots. They threw their riders. They could hardly make headway. God turned their strength into weakness. How little it takes for the Lord to defeat his enemies. We look out there on the 900 chariots of iron. What are we against those? What is our puny arm against the chariots of iron that the enemy has? What are human feet against the hooves of great horses of war? But the Lord is on our side. I remember way back in the 1960s, I remember when there was a concerted move on the part of the then Prime Minister of Northern Ireland in conjunction with the moderator and assembly of the Irish Presbyterian Church to put an end to what they called Paisleyism, namely the Free Presbyterian Church. There was nobody else had raised a witness in Northern Ireland against the World Council of Churches and the run to Rome. There was no one else that was raising a standard. There was a very deliberate, concerted effort to wreck our work. I'm not going into all the details of what was done. I remember our presbytery called a special day of prayer and fasting for all its ministers and all its elders in our Ballymena church. And I remember that day we gathered to pray that God would take that prime minister and remove him from office. That was a crazy thing to pray. Humanly speaking, he was immovable. He was in control. But that day, we reminded ourselves, and I'll never forget Dr. Paisley's words to us that day. He said, "Men, remember, we have something that our enemies do not have. That is access to the throne of God." We prayed and we fasted that day. Nothing outside had changed. The political situation was exactly the same. But that day we walked out of Ballymena Church knowing that we had met with God. And we said, "Terence O'Neill,
God can turn their strength into weakness. Oh, we need to know the truth of that word again. We have that which our enemies cannot have. That is access to the throne of God. If God's people would put even a fraction of the energy that they put into other things, into praying for their nation, it's easier to get Christians in a tax revolt than it is to get them on their knees. And I'm mentioning that as one. It's easier to get Christians to carry a placard than get them on their knees. You can change the leadership of this country if you prevail with God. And if you don't, it doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't matter. We have power. We have power. If only we'll use it. Barak fought a good fight, and God gave him the victory. And finally, just a word about Jael. I'm not getting into the controversy about the rightness and wrongness of what she did, except to say that God has not a word to say against her. He praises her for what she did. She threw in her lot with the people and cause of God, and the Lord gave her a rich reward. Look at verse 24 of chapter 5. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. Now contrast that with what goes before. Verse 23, curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Here was Jael. She didn't know the outcome of the battle. She had no idea what had happened. She simply knew that Sisera was in trouble. But for all she knew, Barak could also have been slain. And yet when she was put to the test, she took her stand with the people of God and with the cause of God. At the very same time, those who were expected to take a stand didn't take a stand. Look at verse 16. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the sheep? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in ships? Asher on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Here were people you would have expected to take a stand, but they didn't. Here are people and they were so busy at the business of life, so busy making money, so busy being peaceful, that they had come to terms with the enemy. They could see their brethren crushed. They could see the cause of God in disarray, and it didn't move them. Do we not have our churches full of them today? People who are busy in things that will not count for eternity. People who are taken up with the mundane, the things that really don't matter. I know that none of us is all that prominent. I know that we're all simple little parts of a greater picture. And I don't want to overstate the issue. But could we not ask ourselves, what am I doing? What's my life amount to? What does my service to God amount to? If I pursue it for another 10 years and have all the success that all my plans call for, what will it amount to? Will there be any souls in heaven as a result? Will there be any casting of crowns at Jesus' feet as a result? Will the devil have received any sword thrust as a result? Will the apostasy bleed as a result of what I'm doing? Where in the balances? How do you weigh? Jael was just a simple, nomadic woman. She didn't know an awful lot. She didn't have any great ability. she could take a nail and a hammer, and the devil felt it, and his minion felt it, and the work of God felt the blessing. God blessed her for it. God blessed her. She had to serve in her own tent. She never did go to the front line of the battle. She just served in her own tent. Very often, you know, that's where Sisera comes. That's where the great force of hell finally comes to rest. In your own home. In your own tent. Listen, you'll not be blessed in that tent simply by making it more ornate. You'll not be blessed in that tent simply by getting a lot more things. You'll only be blessed in that tent when the emissary of the devil has a nail from the Word of God put through his head, put to death. That's the only way you'll be blessed in your tent. A threefold cord. Each strand was weak, not sufficient of itself, but together, by the power of God, they couldn't be stopped, and the devil couldn't overcome them. There's not much that I can do, but there is something. There's not much that you can do, but there is something. Let us get the strands of the rope together. You'll notice when a rope is made, the strands are twisted around each other so that they become inseparable. That's the way it is in God's church. It's not you going your way, another going his way, another going his way, and we're just scattered. There is a twisting in and out, an interdependence of the people of God. And when God's people are so unified in a single endeavor for Christ, I want to tell you, they cannot be broken. May God give us our Deborahs, our Baraks, and our Jails. And may God give us the song and the victory and the blessing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it on our hearts. Oh God, tonight we pray that thou wilt give to this preacher, to all this people, a heart searching, a heart cleansing, and a heart consecration. Lord, we pray that thou wilt entwine our lives and our service around the will of God and the promises of grace and the glory of Christ, so that we may be like that threefold cord that can't be broken. Give us much blessing and success in personal witness, in home life, in public witness, in national influence. Give us much success for the honor of our dear Redeemer. Lord, hear us. Part us now with thy blessing, and keep us near the side of the Redeemer, in vital fellowship with him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.